Our gospel lesson comes from Matthew chapter 6. I invite you to stand. Our Lord's teaching, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now our scripture lesson for the sermon, Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, our Lord's teaching. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faiths? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing and to shape our lives so that we will live lives pleasing to you. Enable us to obey your word. Spirit of God, be present in confirmation and conviction as you shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. For we pray in his name, and amen. You may be seated. I would like to begin this sermon with two different stories. Two different stories. The first story is a story that is made up, but I think you'll be able to relate to it. The second story is historically accurate. These stories tell two different tales. One is a story of anxiety. The other one is a story of trust. These two stories speak of two different kingdoms. The first story, this is made up. Once upon a time, there was a young couple with the last name of Fretter, Fred and Frieda Fretter. If anyone was ever rightly named, it was this couple. They fit their name. They lived their name. They wore their name. They were their name. This couple would fret over just about anything, pick a topic, and they would become anxious over it. They were troubled and bothered, and they wondered and worried. Usually when a subject arose, they were quick and ready to offer their agitation to it. You could use the topics of food or drink, their bodies, their health, their clothing, or the environment, and their angst would arise. Commonly, this anxiety, this unsettledness, would rise up over things which they had no control over at all. For example, they would fret about their aging, something which was inevitable, something they shared. They were both growing older, and it was present for everyone else as well. They were worked up over children, whether or not they would have children, and if they did have children, how would the children turn out? This would ruffle them and increase their anxiety. This topic of the not yet present children was one which stifled many an appetite and shortened many a meal. There were other topics too. For example, they would grow anxious over the opinions of others. Did you see the way Mrs. So-and-so looked at me? What do you think of the way that A, B, or C family is doing this or that? Why do you think they do not even call me, or they don't even say hi? And I'm not even sure that I like that. Everything became suspicious. Everything was a target. Then, fairly soon, they began to look at each other in the same way. They did this with hearts and eyes trained to do so. They had been schooled to do so. They had been trained in this. They both excelled in embracing perceived trouble and were skilled in manufacturing worry, fretting over the next call, the next knock at the door, email, text message, look, or tone of voice. And they applied it to one another. They had become well-trained in trusting themselves. They found that they couldn't trust anyone else. It wasn't long before worry and anxiety ceased being visitors in the fretter home. By now, they had become settled residents. Peace was on vacation. Rest was now only a word in the dictionary. They began to look at each other with suspicion. They worried about the loyalty of the other. They were anxious. She was not reliable. His heart did not trust in his wife. What would she do tomorrow? What would happen to them? They wanted to control everything. They wanted to be the Lord, the Master. They wanted to know the future. And they did not want to trust anything to anyone else. Now the second story. This is a true account of a saint from the 1800s named George Mueller. George Mueller of Bristol. If the fretters were filled with fretting, this was a man filled with faith. This was a man filled with prayer and trust. In Pearson's biography, George Mueller of Bristol, these are the opening words. A human life filled with the presence and power of God is one of God's choicest gifts to His church and to the world. Here's an event in his life. George Mueller, a preacher, as well as the caretaker of an ever-growing orphanage. The house mother of the orphanage informed George Mueller, "The children are dressed and ready for school, but there is no food for them, nothing for them to eat." George asked her to take the 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at the tables. He thanked God for the food and waited. George knew God would provide food for the children, as He always did. Within minutes, a baker knocked on the door. "Mr. Mueller," he said, "last night I could not sleep. Somehow I knew that you would need bread this morning. I got up and baked 3 batches for you. I will bring it in." Soon, there was another knock on the door. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. The milk would spoil by the time the wheel was fixed. He asked George if he'd like some free milk. George smiled as the milkman brought in 10 large cans of milk. It was just enough for 300 thirsty children. Toward the end of this biography, Pearson states, George Mueller considered nothing too small to be a subject of prayer, because nothing is too small to be the subject of God's care. If he numbers our hairs and notes a sparrow's fall and clothes the grass of the field, nothing about his children is beneath his tender thought. Therefore, I say to you, our Lord says, do not be anxious about your life. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. We are commanded to not be anxious, and this seems impossible. It's all connected with what's gone before, the two treasures and the two eyes and the two lords. If we have two of these going on at the same time, if we have two of these being pursued at the same time, if we have two of these being served at the same time, we will be all over the place. Earthly treasures or heavenly treasures, the two treasures will always compete. Two eyes, one clean, one dirty, they will always divide. Two lords, the true God or mammon, they will always disagree. Our Lord calls us to a single devotion. We are to be about a singular treasure, laying up treasures in heaven. We are to have a single eye, a pure eye, a clean eye, and that will affect the rest of our body. And we're to have one Lord. We cannot serve God and Mammona. We are to be devoted. We are not to be divided. And that's interesting. Anxiety is a divider. The Greek word for anxiety used throughout this passage is the word merimnao. Meri meaning parts, mnao referring to our minds, our thoughts. Merimnao. Literally, it means having our mind in pieces, scattered. Anxiety is a divider. Scattered after this, and then after this. My eye there, then my eye here, my heart there, and then my heart here, my treasures We are easily scattered, easily distracted, easily consumed, pulled, drawn, disturbed. Anxiety is a divider. It divides us from faithfulness. It divides us from trust. It divides us from walking securely as children of our Heavenly Father. Our Lord says clearly, do not be anxious about your life. And we are easily anxious about our lives. Another way to say that is that we are readily anxious about what we have been given. Here, I'll give you life, and then we'll fret over it. So where are you anxious? Where? What are you anxious over? Our Lord gives examples. Your food, your drink, your bodies, your clothing, and that which pertains to your bodies. Our Lord addresses our anxieties, and these are anxieties that pertain to our existence. Now, a point needs to be made, a point about then and in certain places of the world today, and a place about here and now. Then and there and in many parts of the world today, these matters of anxiety and worry, food and drink, bodies and clothing refers to protection, are concerns as to whether or not they will have any at all. Many of our brothers and sisters who are imprisoned, will they have food or drink? Will they be adequately covered? Will their lives continue? will they live? And we may stand back and say, if they're anxious over that, I get it. And our Lord says, do not be anxious. For us, here, it's more of what kind of food or drink, how much food or drink, what kind of clothing, and how many articles. And we are still anxious over this. And our Lord says, do not be anxious. Our Lord asks, is not life, the life I have given you, more than food? And are not your bodies more than clothing? Are you going to reduce your existence to that? Are you going to be so narrow? So when we are consumed over food, I've got to make sure that I have this. When we're consumed over food and wrapped up over clothing, we are living lives of anxiety. We are trusting in ourselves, in our getting and in our get up. Have we reduced our existence, the gift God has given to us, to foods and fabrics? Have we reduced our existence to drink and to dress? Have we reduced our existence to consuming and clothing? Our Lord points us to the birds. Look at the birds, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. Not a bird in the cage. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the birds that came out and populated the bird feeder this morning. Did you see that? They do not plant, they do not harvest, they do not gather, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. The opening eyes of our basic theology, the theology of our God's creation, take a look. When is the last time you observed a bird sweating over food? We're supposed to go, you know, I never have. Even so, when is the last time, even if you did see a bird planting next year's seed crop and going over seed selections, and a bird checking the soil or even reading the farmer's almanac about the weather, even if you saw all of that, even if you found a bird that was wrapped up, losing feathers, molting over all of that, what difference did it make? So our Lord then presses it to us. I wanted you to look at the birds now. I'm going to ask you a question. And which of you, by being merimnao, by being scatter-minded, by being split and divided, which of you by being anxious, which of you by worrying, go ahead and keep worrying. What does it do? Which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Some translations even say can add a cubit to his height. Matter of fact, the Greek word helikia allows for both. It's about length or size, length of time or length of life. Which of you by being anxious can grow 7, 8, 9 inches? Which of you by fretting can gain an hour? So our Lord says, why are you anxious now about your clothing, about your protection? Take a look at the lilies of the field. Here, take a look at the Texas blue bonnets. Take a look at the lilies of the field, not those of the nursery, not those of the hothouse, not those of the greenhouse, not those of Google Images. Take a look at the lilies of the field. They are not toiling and spinning, and yet they are gorgeous. They are beautiful. Our Lord says this, I'm going to tell you something. Even Solomon, in all of his glory, in all of his getting, in all of his acquisition, in all of the wonder that even the Queen of Sheba went, Wow. Every report I have heard, it doesn't do justice to what's going on around here, King Solomon. Even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not beautified, decked out like just one of the lilies of the valley, of the field. Even Solomon, when he was on the throne and when everyone was around and with all the pomp, and so, even one Texas bluebonnet is more beautiful. And then our Lord brings it right down to earth, literally. Verse 30, if God so adorns, clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, it's brief, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, or another way we could understand this, which today is present, tomorrow is run over by a lawnmower, will He not much more clothe you? When have you been without? I didn't say, when have you been without what you thought you wanted? When has our Lord not taken care of you? And then we grouse because we have poor treasures and dirty eyes and false lords. Oh, you of little faiths. Yes, it's plural. Our translations say, oh, you of little faith. It's actually, oh, you of little faiths. And if that doesn't hit you straight in the face, sis, I'm not sure what. Oh, you have little faiths? Oh, yes, I have been placing my faith here and in there and in my getting and in my acquiring and in what I'm doing and in my acquisitions and in... Stop it. Quit being so anxious. You're trusting yourself or you're trusting your Heavenly Father? Verse 31, just settle down. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Just settle down. Stop it. Stop trying to control everything. The Lord has given. He will provide. The Lord gave birds. He provides for birds. He gave flowers and grass. He provides for them. He gave you a body. He will provide for your body. Oh, it... maybe of a shorter span of life than a longer, but the Lord will take care of it, and yet we fret. We take all of this into our own hands. And deep down, it's because we're thinking that we're better at it. So I fuss, and I tremble over every little detail, and I contribute my own anxiety to the mix. This is a matter of one kingdom or another. There is the kingdom of anxiety, or there is the kingdom of faithful trust. There's the kingdom of anxious trusting in myself, or there's the kingdom of faithful trusting in our Heavenly Father. Allow me to quote from Peter Lighthart. A new kingdom and a new king are being heralded in the midst of the corruptions of worldly kingdoms. A new city in the midst of the old cities. The old city is a city of anxiety. For Jesus, anxiety is not just a feeling or emotion that we privately experience. It is that. But it is also an organizing principle of a world, a structure and a regime, a master and a power. Anxiety is the ether of the world outside of the kingdom of God. Treasuring up treasures is bound to lead to anxiety because we know we cannot guarantee the future. That's the kingdom of anxiety. The kingdom of my making and my defining and my sustaining. And this is what everyone else is doing. It's what our Lord says. For all of these things, the nations, for all of these things, everyone else, the Gentiles are eagerly seeking these things. What does their heartbeat sound like? It's going after it. So many hasting about, clamoring here and clamoring there, depending entirely upon themselves. Jesus says, don't be like the rest of the world. Instead, seek first as a priority His kingdom, His righteousness, the life that shows you are His child, able to trust in a trustworthy Father. And all these things will be taken care of. And you know what? When we look back, we say, you know, they have been taken care of. And then we, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, we don't believe that it will continue unless we are doing it. It's two kingdoms. It's a kingdom of my own or kingdom of another. So let's conclude. Four simple points. First of all, what does the Lord say not to do? He says, do not be anxious over them. And it will take the rest of our lives to learn this. But our Lord is faithful, and He will train us, shape us, and grow us. Our Lord says, do not be anxious over them. By the way, our Lord does not say, don't care about these things. He says, don't be anxious over them. He said, well, I've got to prepare food. Take care of it. But don't let that take care of you. Number two, when our Lord points to the birds and the lilies and the grasses, He's not doing so as some kind of hippie sage. Some people will go to this particular passage and they say, see, Jesus is some... I think it might have been Dr. Peter Leithart who commented saying that Jesus is not some kind of first century flower child here. He says, hey, look at the flowers. And you know, that's what it is to be a Christian. Just look at the flowers. When our Lord points to the birds and the lilies and the grasses, He is doing so to teach us about not being anxious. When it comes to anxiety, I should act like that. I should know that I'm being treated in the way that the fields and the birds are being treated and taken care of. Jesus is not pointing to the birds and the flowers and the grasses as some kind of work ethic. We cannot go to this and say, you know what, I'm just going to act like the birds. I'm not even going to work. That's not what Jesus is teaching here. He's teaching us about being anxious, fretting over the establishment of our own kingdom. Don't go there. Third, our Lord does not say to disregard the stuff of the world. Don't eat, don't drink, don't even dress yourself. That's not what He's saying. The Lord is not promoting some kind of oddball asceticism which suggests that holiness is found in the pure rejection of the world and in wearing the most raggedy clothes. As if somebody's the most spiritual, they're going to have the raggediest clothes and they're going to have a distinct odor about them. That's not what our Lord is teaching here. It's interesting, our Lord even says, your heavenly Father knows you need these things. Our Lord is not rejecting the world of His creation. Theologian Frederick Dale Bruner. In the Sermon on the Mount, we've noticed that Jesus wants His disciples to be different from the world around them. Different not so much in diet or clothes or appearance. He specifically commands us to look natural and normal, but different in deed and different in motivation. Jesus commands us to turn our backs on the God possession and to turn our primary attention to the quest for the Father's royalty and His righteousness. Last, earthly treasures and the things we regularly fret over, placing our faith in our abilities, they lead to anxiety because we cannot control the future. We can't even control the next hour. We can't control tomorrow. This is a matter of today. We are to trust today, trust the Father today, and trust the Father for tomorrow. Our trust today leads to tomorrow's trust. And our Lord says, you know, each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough evil of its own. This is not the evil of the evil one. This is the evil of disruption. This is the evil of things being turned upside down. I didn't expect that. Be trained today. We do not need to add any more. Each day is enough for us to follow our loving Lord. So I've said this to the young people in this congregation. I'm going to do it one more time. Faithfulness looks like this. That's a faithful step right there. I'm not called right now to faithfully step over there or faithfully step over there. I'm called to faithfully step here. And now I'm called to faithfully step here. And sometimes the Lord says, stay. And I'm gaining the legs, gaining the strength. Each day has enough concern of its own. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all of these other things, they'll be taken care of because your Heavenly Father knows you need them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, by the gift of your Holy Spirit, cause your word to be an ever-present lamp and light in our lives, illuminating our paths. May we think and speak and act as those who belong to you, as your children, as your trusting children, for you are trustworthy. Beautify this flock, Lord, for the glory of your name, and enable us to present to you hearts of wisdom. I ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, and all of God's people said, Amen.